Chicago, a city on the move, a city that works. And where does it work best? The neighborhoods, of course. We continue our tour of Chicago neighborhoods. Last week, we were in Little Village. Before that, Rogers Park. Tonight, let's go south to Woodlawn. Woodlawn is a classic Chicago neighborhood. It borders Hyde Park and includes a lot of Jackson Park, extends west to King Drive, and east, well, east to the lakefront. It's a neighborhood that's seen its share of shifting demographics over the years. In the 1940s, it was all white. By the 1980s, all black. Its population was at a high point in the 60s, but by the 90s, it had lost over half of its residents. Why? Well, lack of development and support from the neighboring university were factors, crime as well. But today, Woodlawn is poised for a comeback. Development is on the rise, and everyone is eagerly anticipating the Obama Presidential Center and the Tiger Woods Golf Course. Politically, Woodlawn's in the 20th Ward, which is a ward that encompasses several Southside neighborhoods. The last alderman, Willie Cochran, pled guilty to bribery. But there's new blood in alderman-elect Jeanette Taylor. Notable residents over the years? How about Hugh Hefner, Jesse Owens, Minnie Minoso, and Lorraine Hansberry? In fact, A Raisin in the Sun, written about Woodlawn. Another notable name was the Reverend Dr. Arthur Brazier, a pioneer for Chicago civil rights. He became one of the most powerful pastors in Chicago until his death in 2010. So who better to talk about the future of Woodlawn than a Brazier? Arthur's son, Dr. Byron Brazier. He took over his dad's church, has big plans for Woodlawn, so much so he's teamed up with his community to create an organized plan for future development. Because everyone in Woodlawn knows it's not if development comes, but when. And he's got Citibank on board as an angel investor. This is full-scale rethinking of this historic community. I met Dr. Brazier and George Wright from Citibank at the newly renovated Daly's Restaurant, right at the corner of 63rd Cottage Grove. Dr. Brazier, I'll start with you. We're in Woodlawn. We're right at the corner of 63rd and Cottage Grove. Woodlawn has seen a lot of changes over the years, and you've been a part of it. What is Woodlawn to you in 2019?
Woodlawn is a place of education, it's a place of change, it's a place of transformation. We have four high schools within six blocks of one another, a major university, we've got a major park, we've got great transportation, great thoroughfares, and now Woodlawn is becoming a place where others are looking.
What do I need to know? I, as someone who lives in Chicago, may not come down to Woodlawn that often, what do I need to know about this community?
This community is no different than any other African-American community on the South Side. It's been underserved, disinvested, and now we're looking at reinvestment. I believe that Woodlawn is at the pinnacle, just south of the major developments that have taken place in the South Loop. Mm-hmm. And now as things are moving south, Woodlawn is a place of growth, it's a place of family, a place of education. It's a place where the education is high and the safety is one of the at the lowest of most communities on the South Side.
I want to bring Mr. Wright in here. When we talk about this area and all the things that Dr. Brazier talked about, this poised for development. You're talking about the Obama Presidential Center coming to Jackson Park, the Tiger Woods Golf Course, even the continuing expansion of the University of Chicago. What does it mean? What is the right kind of development, and what do you have to do to make sure that that happens?
Justin, for us at City Community Development, we actually lead the charge in terms of making sure that our investments are what we call inclusive. And working with Dr. Brazier and Network of Woodlawn has the ability to do just that. So as a bank, we love to invest. It's what we do, right? But our investments have to equal results that are equitable, that are fair, that make sure that we stave off gentrification and displacement. And again, Dr. Brazier has talked about some of the successes and some of the things that have happened in Woodlawn over time. We want to make sure that those successes are not unequal and are equitable.
That seems to be the issue around the Obama Presidential Center. I mean, everybody's going to want a piece of Woodlawn coming up here. I mean, this is going to be the issue. You already get the vibe that that's going to happen. That seems like it'd be great for a community. It'd be great for development in a community, is it? I mean, why make a plan when you let the free market just sort of take over?
Well, we were planning for Woodlawn long before the Obama Library selected Jackson Park. And that is because we intentionally and consciously invested in our schools and in our safety. Because of that, then economic development becomes the next element. Mm-hmm. And how do you plan for community is that the community sets the plan and invites others to invest. So we have studied Woodlawn. Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill have done a study that outlined what Woodlawn could be. We economically know that Woodlawn is a place to invest, and we've created a final study that actually, out of this one study, will address the issues that might come up for city government, for developers, mm-hmm. for financial institutions, as well as for our residents.
I just heard an interview with the mayor. He's on his tour talking about his legacy, and he pointed to Woodlawn. He pointed to the Jewel. He pointed to other places saying this is a community that before he took over had hardship, and now it's poised for the next stage that it's looking forward. When you think about that and you think about the mayor and other people downtown talking about Woodlawn, is that a good thing? I mean, do you feel like that his words and, you know, me obviously I'm paraphrasing, but what he says about Woodlawn is true?
Well, the things that he said about Woodlawn is true. And have there been major investments that have taken place that the mayor's been a part of? The answer is yes. The transportation, some cases in the affordable housing, the how you make a Jewel affordable, he's been directly involved. Our mission is not just to have the things in a community, but how does a community actually grow?
Right.
How do the people actually benefit? And so we have a plan for that benefit. It's not about the things of transportation or the store, because the community can still go down to 39th Street and go to the store. Right?
Right.
So now how does a community actually benefit from the growth or from the investment that has been stimulated by governmental investment?
Well, we've heard a lot about that. I mean, that's been in the newspaper about a community benefits agreement, this concept that if you're going to have things like the Obama Presidential Center come into town or into the neighborhood, that there better be some result or at least a benefit for the community. Mr. Wright, there's not a lot of neighborhoods where there just seems to be a lot of promise that development's coming in. How do you make sure that it's equitable? Because you can be in charge of the investments, but I would assume a lot of people want to put their money here.
That's right. So it's a great question, Justin. And the way we actually approach it, there has to be two elements. And when I say we, it's city or city community development as part of Citibank. So the two aspects that we look for is there someone that has the moral authority to lead? And obviously I'm sitting across the table from that person. The second thing is there a will from the residents? So we want to invest in communities where the residents are actually an integral part of it, and a community that's actually working together, not someone who is or a community that's waiting on something to be done to them, but a community that's waiting on some people to actually do something with them. And if they have those two elements, we're keen to invest. And our investment strategy, quite frankly, is to be an angel investor, to come in and develop the plan as a thought leader alongside those moral authorities, those leaders that have that moral authority. That's how we ensure that those outcomes will be fair, equitable, and just.
You know, this is our neighborhood tour, and we can't talk about Woodlawn without talking about your dad and about the church. And you've been a big, big part of this community for decades now, if not a whole century. So, you know, for you to be here and be at this moment where we're sitting in the renovated Daly's restaurant, and that there is this economic growth and development coming to Woodlawn, how does it feel?
There is a such thing as the heritage of generational blessings. And I'm very thankful to be able to continue the legacy that my father had started back in the 60s when he only had 100 members. He was still the convener of the community. And now the church is of such that it continues to be the major institutional advocate on behalf of the community. Uh-huh. And as Mr. Wright just spoke, my father planned for certain sites. So whether it was Jackson Park Terrace, whether it was the homes on Kenwood, we're now looking to plan not for a development, but for an entire community all at the same time. Mm. When you take a look at the five or six platforms of community development, where you start with vacant land, abandoned buildings, commercial strips, how you begin to incorporate privately owned land, as well as people who own buildings that are in need of repair, how do you begin to fund and support all of that? And it requires an enormous amount of partners who view a place of investment like this. So we've moved to place Woodlawn in a place different than Southworks, or different than the State Street Corridor, or different than Michael Reese.
Right.
Right? Where you're waiting for private investment. We are not waiting for private investment.
I find that funny because those are sites, right? Southworks is a site. Michael Reese is a site. And Woodlawn's a neighborhood.
Right.
Woodlawn is a historic, classic Chicago neighborhood. To think about it in the same way, it's a little bit outside the box to think that Woodlawn could be like a full-on development. It would be like Southworks.
And that's how we're looking at it. We're looking at a complete community, looking at the platforms and saying, how do we now, and there are different types of investors. There's some that invest in vacant lots. There's some that invest in rehab buildings. They're different. We are looking to aggregate the different types of developers, aggregate the financial support for an entire community all at the same time.
That's a lot. Mr. Wright, that sounds like a daunting challenge. And I want to ask you, how do you make sure that when you come to the table, when you guys come to the table to organize a plan for Woodlawn, that all the right people are at the table to make this a strong, vibrant, eclectic community?
Another great question, because when we actually look at this as an angel investor, when city comes in and says, do we want to be first in, right? It starts with, is the plan that we're helping to develop, that we're supporting, is it equitable? Does it have all the partners at the table? And this was certainly apparent through Dr. Brazier's leadership. Every person, whether it be schools, whether it be police, whether it be firemen, whether it be clergy, whether it be community stakeholders, advocates, they were all at the table. And when you have everyone at the table, what's the old saying, right? If you're not at the table, you're on the menu, right? So he had those individuals at the table, and then we were excited to actually partner with it and to be that angel, that seed investor.
There are still issues in Woodlawn. Crime is one that still plays a big factor here. I mean, when you talk about finding an angel investor and remaking and reshaping a community, how do you deal with some of the things that are standing in the way of that?
First is that we've dealt with crime and criminal activity. In 2012, we had 23 homicides. But when we implemented our strategic program, that next year we went to 8. Then we went to 4 gang homicides in the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Woodlawn fell off the list for philanthropic support for
safety. Why do you think that is? What moved Woodlawn to those kind of small numbers?
We looked at how we had an individual who was a high-ranking individual in the Daley administration, and the commanders respected him. But at the same time, he grew up in Stateway Gardens, so the people respected him. And so when you have an individual who understands public safety, understands that we need to have response, intervention, and prevention all at the same time, and we rolled in all of our stakeholders in order to make that happen, it becomes real clear that if they're over here, they can't be over here. And it's pretty much that simple.
This is a new time politically for Woodlawn, a new alderman in the 20th Ward, but you also have a new mayor of Chicago in Lori Lightfoot. Do you see that as a positive, that there's sweeping change coming in for this neighborhood and Chicago?
Well, I presented the Woodlawn plan to the new alderman, and one of her responses was, how can we move it to Washington Park and Inglewood? And I sit on the mayor's community transition team, and we presented our asks, and we'll be meeting with her, I would assume, with the next sometime after the inauguration.
Okay, so Mr. Wright, and your role at Citibank, it's not just Woodlawn. You're going to be talking about other communities and some of the communities that were just mentioned, whether it be Inglewood or Washington Park. So how do you prioritize, or how do you make sure that the bank is taking on projects and making sure that all of the neighborhoods are represented when it comes to equitable investment?
another great question, because we obviously can't get to every neighborhood simultaneously, right? So, again, we go back to prioritization around, is there a leader there that has the moral authority to lead? That's the first question we ask. And can we make real differences based upon the fact that the community is behind this? In some communities, that they're further along than others, right? And we try to sit at the table with those communities to help them understand that those two elements are key. And if we do that, we can prioritize our investments. Again, making sure that the outcomes are fair and equitable to everyone.
I got to say, you guys got it all buttoned up here.
I would say, in adding to what George just mentioned, the Arthur and Brazier Foundation is set to support other communities in the development of their conveners. Every community has a Dr. Brazier in it. It may not look like, it may be a group that looks like or does what we can do. And when people say, well, there's not an apostolic in every community, but my father was a convener when he had 100 members. This is about community will. It's about being able to, how do I move from where we are today to self-sufficiency and self-determination? And there is a pathway that can be explained, and it comes down to community will.